Okay, great. So,
for those of you that I haven't met before, my name is Kenny. I've met all you guys, most of you guys. And I've been gone. I've been in the States. It's been really awesome. Me and Katie, we really, you know, honestly, most times when I go back to the States, you want to hit the lights? Actually, Ricky? All three on the right. Yeah. There we go. There we go. See. Normally, when I go back to the States, to be honest, I'm really happy to eat hamburgers and steaks and all that stuff. But I'm I just can't wait to go back to Shanghai. I'm kind of missing it and stuff like that. I miss you guys. But honestly, this year the States was really, really good. It was so good. We went back and I got to. There's a couple churches back in the States that pray for us and stuff. So I got to meet up with them, and they were super stoked to hear about what's happening and all that stuff. Which I was like, what? But they were talk to her. It was kind of funny. I went back and I spoke at their middle school group at the church that supports us. Their middle school, which is only 6th, 7th, 8th, had 180 kids.
Wow.
In the second service. The first service had 100 kids. So they've got 200, almost 300 kids in their middle school. And their high school is even bigger. And so I was like, whoa, it's so crazy. But it was really good. I told them about you guys and told them about Chennai and what life is and stuff. And it was really a blessing. And then I spent a week in Maine with the three of us, and we ate lobster and all sorts of great stuff. It was really good. And then I got to spend some time in Oregon. And Oregon was actually super special because I grew up in Oregon, if you didn't know. There's lots of memories there. But Katie's never been, so with me. So I showed her I showed her where I learned to drive a car. I showed her where I went jet skiing when I was 16. I showed her where I, the camp where I made a lot of my big decisions to follow the Lord. And actually the camp where my parents split up, where I lived for a year and how I went through that. And the family there that were meant second mom and dad to me, my best friend. She met my best childhood friend and all this. This is really, really special trip. So I'm really thankful. But now we're back, right? And SOAR in the summer is different, right? Because for all of you and all of us, because what do? You're in the school year, we're exams, BA, I'm done. Now my next exam is in 3 months. I must start studying, right? And we're all freaking out, and maybe not all of you are like that. Some of you are like that. And then, there's all this pressure, all this all this stuff, right? And then you're just so whatever. And then summer hits, and you're like, you're just turned into a blob, right? And then the day after exams, you wake up, and you're like, oh, wow, what time is it? Whoa, 5 o'clock? I got up so early. And then your mom's like, no, it's 5 p.m. And you're like, what? They're done already. And then you just sleep, and you kind of veg, and then you wake up the next day, and what do you eat? You do games for 6 hours, right? Is this what your guys' life is like? No?
Yeah.
What do you guys do during your summer?
Sleep,
right? Yeah. So it's part of that, it's true. Anyway, but summer is this time where it's so you're just right? Sit in the pool, and sip a lemonade, and make some home chai or something like that, right? And it's just chill, right? It's so much more relaxed than the school year. But what I find sometimes is in my life, when I go into those seasons where I don't have any responsibilities, I don't have to get anything done, sometimes a month later I look back and I'm like, what did I do this summer? Someone's like, hey, what did you do this summer? And you're like, I think I accomplished nothing. You know, right? You just kind of went through and you're like, I think I might have just wasted my entire summer, right? I didn't do anything at all. Maybe I'm not as tired as I was at the beginning of summer. But usually you sleep so much you're tired. You're more tired, right? What I want to talk about today is how to have an awesome summer and not waste your life. How do we not waste this summer, right? Or any season of your life that you go into that's not as intense as other seasons, right? So that's what my talk today is about. And this actually is from a summer. You see Paul Crandall there? This is from a summer 2011. So it was 3 years ago. Yeah. I'm acting out the song by Owl City, Fireflies. Do you guys know the song Fireflies? I like to make myself believe that I'm acting it out. So, anyway. Okay. So that's Paul Crandall from 3 years ago. Isn't that crazy? I know, right? What happened to him? He used to be so cute. Now he's like, right? So.
He looks like
Ricky. I know, he does. He looks like Ricky. Yeah. He's like a white Ricky. Okay, anyway, so if you don't know this guy's name is Paul Crandall, he's now 18, just left for college, but this was back when he was a little kid, which was 3 years ago. Okay, but behind this whole idea is this idea of stewardship. So what does stewardship mean? Does anyone know? Come on, some of you guys are like world scholars, smart people. What is it? Okay, good. So, like, looking after something. Good. Good. What else?
Managing for someone else.
Okay, managing, right? So maybe that, like, doesn't belong to you, but you take, yeah, you manage it. Okay, anything else? The way you describe it. Good. Okay, yeah, that's the idea, right? You've been given something. Say, hey, take care of this for me. And then you do. So Jesus told this story about stewardship, about these three guys, and it's in Matthew 25. You don't have to go there, but Matthew 25. And basically the story is this master goes, hey, you're my good servant. Here's 5 talents. A talent was like a ton of money. I think one talent, I don't know what it was. Huh? Yeah, year's wages. So basically, like, think $60,000 or, like, I don't know, 100, what would it be? Like, $200,000 is like 1 talent. Something like that, right? A lot of money. And he gave him 5 of them. And he was like, all right, do something epic with this. You know, right? And go on vacation, do something cool with it. Goes to the next guy, here's 3 talents. Do something good with it. Goes to the next guy, here's 1 talent. And then he entrusted it to them, and then he left on a journey. And then the Bible says that he came back, or Jesus was telling the story, Jesus said, oh, he came back and he was like, hey, Mr. Servant that I gave 5 talents to, what did you do with them? And he's like, oh, well, I invested them, I did work with them, and now I have 5 more, now you have 10 talents. And he's like, well done. You are an awesome servant, right? He said, my good and faithful servant. He didn't say my awesome servant, but same difference. Then he goes to the guy with 3. He says, hey, what did you do with the 3 I gave you? And he's like, I've made 3 more. Great job. You'll be rewarded. Then he goes to the last one, and he's like, hey, what did you do with the talent I gave you? And the guy's like, oh, well, you know, I knew you were, like, this really tough dude, and, like, you know, you like kind of make money off of other people. And so I just kind of took your money and I stuck it in the ground and I buried it so that no one would steal it. And here's your money back. And the master's like, you wicked servant. You are a loser, basically what he said, right? And what Jesus said is he said he went and took the money from that guy and he gave it to the guy with 10. Why would he do that? Why? Because the guy with 10 knew how to be a good steward. The guy with 10 understood stewardship, right? The guy with 1 was like, oh, well, this is mine. I'll just make sure I don't lose it, right? He didn't understand stewardship. So I don't know about you, but for me, I know that all of us, God has entrusted us with things. He's given us our life. He's given us the money we have. He's given us the friends we have. He's given us the popularity we have. He's given us the education we've had. All of these things are talents, right, that God has given to us. What are we going to do with it? And specifically, the talent I want to talk about today is the talent of this summer, right? The summer of 2014. God's giving it to you right now. You're going to live it out. At the end of the summer, when God's like, hey, what'd you do with my summer? What are you going to say? Oh, I buried it in the ground, and, you know, I didn't die. Woohoo! Right? Or are you going to be able to say, hey, I accomplished things with what this summer, right? Or I did what you would have me do during the summer, right? I want to be a good steward of everything God's entrusted to me. So that's what the kind of the idea behind what I'm saying today. Okay, so we need our Bibles now. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand, and then Chang will throw one at you. I actually need one, too. It's back there. They're back there. Yeah. Can you toss me one, Shane? Toss me a good one. Yeah. Teen study Bible on the bottom, because I'm a teenager.
What do you need?
The white ones.
Yeah, there you go.
Alright. So once you get your Bible, start flipping to Ephesians 5, or you can look on your phone if you got that. Ephesians 5, that's towards the end of the book, right about there. Alright. Start in verse 15. Ephesians 5, 15. Get there. All right. Does someone want to read? Let's see. 15 through 21. I can only read at Popcorn's house, so we can just read one verse at a time. I'll read the first one. Here we go. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise.
Taking advantage of every opportunity, because the days are evil.
Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is.
Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to
debauchery. By the way, debauchery means like, really bad sin without even feeling bad about it. So if you're like going like, yeah, I'm doing bad stuff, I don't care, blah, 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 that's like, I'm being drunk, I'm like hurting people, blah, 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 that's debauchery.
To one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord.
Always giving thanks to God and Father, God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Good. Alright, awesome. Okay, so if you guys see the first verse says, be very careful in how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, as some translations say. Some say, let's see. My other translation says, making the best use of time. Some other versions say, redeeming the time. All right, but this is the idea. You should live your life in a way that makes the best possible use of your time. Right? I don't know about you, but that's how I want to live, right? I don't want to get to the end of my life and be like, well, I'm 60 years old, and about 20 of those years were spent on great stuff, but 40 years, I just, like, wasted it playing AOE, or, like, playing video games, right? You know? I don't want to get to my end of life and see that I wasted big chunks of it. I want to use every bit I can to make a difference, right? I want to be someone who is, I don't know about you, maybe you're different from me. Maybe you're someone who just, you don't care if your life is just, bleh, right? But I don't think that's what we were created for. I don't think that's what you were created for or what I was created for. We were created to make a difference in the world. We're created to be in communion with God. And we're created for our lives to count for something, right? And so if that's going to be the case, we got to learn how to make our lives count, every moment of our life count, right? And we have to learn how to redeem the time. Okay, so how do we do that? Do you guys notice from anything in here? Let's see, here we go. I'll go to the next slide. You guys recognize this guy? This is Mark Tubal, if any of you guys know. This is Mark, way back when he had long hair. So yeah. By the way, even though it's picture Mark, it doesn't mean Mark is doing the bad stuff. Because this is a slide saying what not to do. It's not because Mark did the bad stuff. It's just the cool picture Mark. Okay. Alright, so what does it not look like to make the most of your time? Like, right? What does it not look like? Well, first, it doesn't look like being ruled by addictions. And you see this in verse 18. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, right? So what's an addiction? Can someone tell me? What's addiction? We all speak English, right? What's an addiction? It's kind of hard to explain, yeah?
An unhealthy attachment to something.
Okay, an unhealthy attachment, yeah?
Being mentally dependent
on something. Okay, being mentally dependent on something. Well, although it's more than that, because let's see, I'm like mentally dependent on food, right? But that's not a bad thing. Yeah. Okay, anything else?
Being
cheating is the dictionary, right? Okay. So an addiction is basically something that you can't stop doing that's bad for you, right? So like someone's like, oh man, I'm getting so fat. Why? I'm addicted to donuts, right? Like I can't stop eating donuts, right? And that's why, even though the donuts are bad for me, right? But I keep doing it, I'm addicted, right? What are some stuff that people get addicted to?
Carrots.
Huh? Carrots? Drugs, yeah, right? People get addicted to drugs, right? That's probably the most obvious, right? You're like, why are you poking a needle into your body, right? Like, it already hurts, and then you're, like, making yourself, ooh, and, like, all crazy and everything, and, like, killing your brain, like, kills your brain, right? Like, makes you stupid, kills your brain. Why are you doing it? But what happens? They just can't stop, right? They can't stop, right? Because they're addicted, even though it's hurting them, okay? What else could we get addicted to?
Alcohol,
right? So true. You guys probably see it a lot here, actually, right? Some of your friends even, right? Or maybe even some of you. I've had friends who've had this, right? You're in a situation where, like, you're just so stressed out, and every time you get stressed out, what do? You go and drink alcohol, right? And you can't help it. That's a bad addiction. What's another addiction people have?
Games.
Huh? Totally, right? I mean, we don't like this one. I don't like this one. But video games, right? Oh, my gosh. How many of you guys have ever spent over 5 hours straight playing video games?
Oh, wait, 5 hours?
5 hours, right? Okay, I don't know. Wait, Amber, really? Yeah, right? Yeah. So I totally have, right? And then what do you do when you get off? You're like, oh, I'm such an idiot, right? Like, why did I play video games for 6 hours straight? Like, you know, or maybe, like, I'm sure none of you had this, but you're like, you've been playing so long, you really have to go to the bathroom? And so you're like, oh, I'll just keep going, right? Like, so you're like, why did I do that to myself, right? I can just pause the game, right? You know? Okay, but what happens, and this happened to me actually, things I should have been doing, I didn't do. Why? Because I was playing video games, right? And I kept going back to it. Even though I knew, oh, I shouldn't, I play too much, I'm addicted, I kept going back, right? And that's the basic idea of my addiction. All right, anything else people get addicted to? Yeah?
TV shows.
Totally. Okay, there was one point when I was watching 2 to 3 episodes of NCIS every day. Yeah. I know. Okay. You guys are addicted. You guys are two or three. That's like 2 hours.
It's
like,
no, it's okay.
That's not okay. It's not okay. Oh my gosh. And you're I'm so busy, I have to study for exams after I watch 3 hours of TV shows. No wonder you're so busy, right? Okay? No, but let's say it's more for you, or let's say that is a problem. That was a problem for me, right? I think you know you're addicted to a TV show when you feel like you have a better friendship with Neil Caffrey or like who else is in a TV show? I don't know. You feel like you know Benedict Cumberbatch better than you know your best friend, you're probably addicted, right? Me and my wife were watching White Collar for a while, and we were like, hey, I wonder how Neil's doing. Wait, Neil is a character in a TV show. He's not even doing, like, he's not alive, right? Like, but you gotta, like, get this connection. I think if you have that connection, you're probably addicted, right? Okay. But TV shows, totally. What else? What else?
Sports.
Sports, right? Often, oftentimes we... What? What? Okay, addicted, right? You see some people, it's all they do, right? They'll do sports and they'll, like, even though it's getting to the point of hurting them, they keep doing it.
All right. Let's check out Proverbs 9. Flip to Proverbs 9 real quick.
All right, Proverbs 9, 17 through 18. Okay, so in this chapter, it's talking about wisdom and folly. So folly is like foolishness, right? and wisdom. And they're kind of like, the Bible's writing about them as if they're two people. And they're kind of like arguing and trying to gain you, right? So like, you know, kind of, it's kind of like good angel, bad angel type thing, right? Wisdom and folly. And it has like, and folly is yelling at the person. He says this in verse 17. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious, right? It's like when you've gone and you've taken what's not yours, it tastes great, right? Like you really wanted to have, I don't know, something that someone else has. And then you go and you steal it, you enjoy it so much, right? That's what folly's telling you. Hey, do it. But the next verse, but little do they know that the dead are there and her guests are in the depths of the grave. And this is so what addiction is like, right? It tells you, oh, this will be great. You'll have so much fun with video games. You'll feel so good when you get the high from alcohol or drugs. You know, like, oh, you'll feel satisfied once you've watched one more TV show or whatever, right? They tell you that, and then afterwards, you feel the consequences. That's how addiction works. And it sucks you in and makes you in what you never, so you cannot get free. And let me tell you, if you want to not waste your summer, or any part of your life, you need to deal with addictions in a very, very direct way because it will rob you of your life. Let me tell you, if you watch 8 hours of TV shows every day for the summer, it will rob you of your summer, right? Any addiction will rob you of your summer. So you need, and I'll talk about this in a little bit, but you need to find the Holy Spirit and talk to God and ask Him to deliver you from your addictions, and He will. He'll work in you, and you'll have to make tough choices at times. But God will help you to be free from your addictions. But if you don't want to waste your time, you need to not be ruled by your addictions, and instead ruled by Christ. Okay? So that's the first one. Great. Okay, let's go to the next one. The next one is in the same passage of Ephesians 5. Go back to Ephesians 5. Keep your finger there. We'll be there quite a bit. Ephesians 5. It says, be very, very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, right? So not in foolishness, but in wisdom. Okay? So, if you don't want to waste your time, you need to learn to not be foolish. Now, there's a bunch of verses, and we don't have to read them all. I went through Proverbs. If you read the book of Proverbs in the Bible, it's like right in the middle. It's like this book with a lot of wise sayings, okay? So most books of the Bible, they read kind of like, you know, a book. Right? They have like storyline that goes through or teaching that goes through. But Proverbs is like, boom, boom, idea, 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 idea. And maybe they're connected, maybe they're not. But it'll just like say it's like a proverb, right? You guys know what a proverb is? A proverb is like a saying. Like, what's the saying? The Chinese proverb about like, What was it? One monk has water, two monks have water, but three monks don't have water. Do you guys know that proverb? No? There's like one about like, it's the story is like this monk, he wanted to go down water, so he grabbed his bucket and fill it up and take it back to the temple. And then two people, they figure, oh, you can put a stick on it, and they can carry it together. But then when there was three, they would always argue about which two people should go get the water. So nobody got any water? You guys heard this story? Yeah? I'm not crazy. What? You know it in Chinese?
No,
it's
just like I'm the most Chinese over here.
Okay. Yeah, so there's like this proverb. Wait, I'm the one who knows the story, so I'm the most Chinese over here. So basically it's a Chinese proverb, right? And this book is like that. It's like sayings. And if you go through it, it has all these sayings about foolishness and fools. And here's a couple things it says. It says that fools refuse to listen to others. It says that a wise person, they will love rebuke. Right? What's rebuke? Rebuke is when someone says, hey, you're wrong. You need to change. A wise person loves that. But a fool is like, no, you can't tell what to do. I'm perfect already, right? That's what a fool says. Fools are also careless and reckless. This is what Proverbs says. This is in verse 14, chapter 14, 16. Right? And fools love to argue. is what the Bible says. Proverbs 20, verse 3. So, while a wise, wise person will listen, right? Fools love to argue. And let me tell you, if you allow your life to be ruled by foolishness, you will waste your time as well. If you refuse to listen to others, how many of you have ever had this situation? You're like, I don't know, let's say you're, it doesn't matter, you're doing something and you're good at this. You've done this for like 3 years, okay? You're super good at it. Let's say you're like student government or something, I don't know. And then someone else gets elected or comes in and they're like, oh, hey, I'll help you do it. And you're like, great, so let me teach you how I've done it for the past 3 years and all the mistakes I've made and how I've figured out the best way to do this. And the person says, no, I don't need to hear anything here. I got this, I'm good. Right? And they just do it on their own. How do you feel? You feel like, idiot, right? Like you will, what? Waste so much time making all the mistakes that I made. Right? And if they would just listen to you, they would waste so much less time. Let me tell you, if you are foolish and refuse to listen to others, you will waste so much of your life. And here's the crazy thing. Who are probably the wisest people in your life? Your friends? Probably not your friends, because they're your age. Your elders, yeah, right? Don't kill me, probably your parents, right? Well, I know, I was a kid too, you know, I understand. Sometimes you feel like, man, my parents, they don't get it, they live in a different world. Your parents are actually pretty wise, because they lived through it all, right? And oftentimes, if you will stop and listen to them, and not be a fool, right, and say, no, I will not learn from you, you will admit, you will be able to skip over many of the mistakes that they make. Does that make sense? If you find a mentor and you learn from that person, then all the mistakes that that person made, you can skip over and you cannot waste your life.
Right? So don't be a fool and be unteachable.
All right. Fools are careless. Yeah, if you're careless, you get hurt. You spend lots of time in the hospital and waste time. Okay. Fools love to argue. I hate this when people waste time arguing. Oh my gosh, does that not drive anyone else crazy? It drives me crazy when we're like, we should be doing this, and someone wants to argue for half hour about it. Right?
So if you don't want to waste your life, don't be ruled by foolishness. Okay, so I need to move on quickly.
What it does look like. What does it look like to not waste your life?
First, let's read verse 18,
Ephesians 5, 18. It says this, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit.
Now, here's the crazy thing about Christianity.
You know, most religions in the world, here's how it works. Hey, become a Buddhist. When you're a Buddhist, we will teach you how to live. And as you live as a Buddhist, your life will get better, and you got to do certain things, and to do certain things, maybe you'll achieve, right, nirvana, that's Buddhism, right? Like, enlightenment, and then you'll be like nothing. It'll be awesome because you'll not be anything anymore, right? And you can like fade off into nothingness, right?
Okay, or different religions say different things.
But here's the difference about Christianity. God says this, you come to me, you give me your entire life, and I will take myself and put it in you. If you are a Christian, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, which is part of God, lives inside of you and teaches you how to live. Right? So, if you want to not waste your life, the greatest way to not waste your life, wouldn't it be if you had like God just hanging out with you and being like, hey, don't do that, that wastes your life. Do that, that's awesome for your life, right? Wouldn't it be great if God just like walked along with you and stepped with you and stepped you through everything and showed you how to live your life? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit's there to do. And that's what is offered to anyone who believes in Christ, is you get the Holy Spirit. If you ask Him for it, He'll come and He'll live inside of you, and He'll teach you how to live. And that's what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. And that's why He says, hey, don't get drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Don't waste your life with addictions. Instead, spend your life well with God teaching you how to live.
Okay? All right. So here's the question I always wrestle with. Tell me, is it better for me to spend an hour feeding the homeless, right? Going out on the street and finding poor people and giving them food to eat, or an hour playing Call of Duty at home? Which one's better? All right, think about it. Really tough, but which one do you think is like in the grand scheme of things? Which one do you think is more important? If you did one.
Maybe the first.
Right?
5 hours each.
5 hours each. Okay. All right. Well, let's say you spend 1 hour like reading your Bible and talking to God and praying, or you spend 1 hour watching White Collar. Which one will be better? Which one's like more important, right? Okay, of course, right? Like Bible time, right? Spend time with God. Okay. Does that mean? What will be better? 1 hour of, you know, sharing the gospel with your friend, or learning more about God, or something like that, or 1 hour of sleeping. But you know, all these things seem better. But then why don't we like feed homeless 16 hours a day? Huh? Like, why am I here right now? Why am I hanging out with you guys? Why am I not out there feeding homeless people? If that would be better, why don't I do that? Or why wouldn't I do my Bible time right now? Huh? Why am I talking to you guys? Oh, I should read my Bible. Ha ha ha.
Read the Bible.
Right? Like, no, that was better. No. Right? So why? What's the difference? Anybody know? If I'm a Christian, why shouldn't I be like reading my Bible constantly? Or why should I be helping people constantly?
It should not be obligation.
Okay. Shouldn't be the obligation.
Because
yeah.
Christianity is more than that.
It's not okay. Just... okay. So Christianity is more than that. Okay. If I spent my entire life, I woke up at 8, I read the Bible for 16 hours, and then I went to sleep. And then every single day, would that be a good life?
That's what God told you.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. No, it probably wouldn't be the best life. It probably wouldn't be what God wanted me to do, right? Because God wants us to impact the world around us. He wants to use our life for something that counts, right? Oh, so let's say I feed homeless people 16 hours a day every day. Would that be the best life possible? Well, you probably would die after about 3 days, right? You know, like, or even 3 years. You couldn't last that long. Right? So how do I know what I should be doing? Holy Spirit. That's what's so cool. Is God has sent His Holy Spirit, and He'll teach us. And the thing is too, that Ecclesiastes, you're on the flip there, but Ecclesiastes 3 says, there's a time for everything. There's a time to laugh, there's a time to cry, there's a time to like sow seed, there's a time to harvest, there's a time to do everything, right? And let me tell you this, there's a time to relax. There's a time to play video games, right? The problem is when they take priority over more important things. That's the problem. But as long as they're not, yeah, go play COD. Who cares, right? That's awesome. Go play sports, right? Go do awesome stuff. But don't let that take priority over things. But how do you know when it's okay and when it's not? The Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. And sometimes it's like that. Like, I'm like, man, God... sometimes even, you know, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, man, I'm so tired. I gotta have my quiet time, I'm like falling asleep. And I feel like the Holy Spirit will say, Kenny, go back to sleep. Like, go back to sleep. Why? Because He's my friend, right? God is my friend, He's with me. And He wants what's best for me. And sometimes what's best for me is for me to sleep more. Right? And so God will lead you, He'll teach you what's right. He'll walk you through stuff. And I'm not saying, you know, the way we learn, it doesn't normally look like, okay, God, we're taking another step. Okay, good. One more? Yeah. Oh, is that good? Oh, okay. And like, it's not always like that. It's much more like having a friend next to you who knows everything in the world, right? Let's say I had a friend, like say Ashley's my friend, and Ashley just knows everything in the whole world. Like, he knows everything that could happen. Would I ask him every moment, hey, Ashley, should I take another step? Should I take one more? What should I have for dinner? Right? Like, okay, I wouldn't ask him everything, but I would definitely ask him about a lot of things.
And in the same way, God has given this Holy Spirit to us, who's all-knowing, and says, hey, you can ask me about anything. And that's what life as a Christian looks like. And that's how we don't waste our life, right? Because someone who knows everything will show me how to live my life. Which is so awesome! Which I'm like, why in the world would you not want that? You know? Why in the world would you not want God showing you how to live an epic life? Like, that's got to be the greatest thing ever. It is the greatest thing ever, right?
So that's what the Holy Spirit's all about. Okay, so be filled with the Holy Spirit. Next one is this.
Live in community. Do you guys see verse 19? Speak to one another in psalms. That means like songs. Hymns. That means like songs. And spiritual songs. That's also means songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything
in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so sometimes
we, especially in the summer or in lazy seasons of life, what happens? This happened to me. You don't have responsibilities, and what do? You sleep until 10 o'clock, you kind of lounge around the day, you don't really accomplish anything, you don't really see anybody, and then you go back to sleep again, right? And maybe some of your friendships even start to like fade a little bit because you're just so lazy, right? But in these seasons, it's important that you don't stop living in community with others. It's important during the summer that you still go to church. You still hang out with your Christian friends. You still come to SOAR. Why? Because if you want to not waste your life, you need what other people have to give, right? If I want my walk with God to be strong, I need you, right? I need you speaking into my life. I need the encouragement that happens there. And what happens? It says, like, hey, speak to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks together. You guys ever notice that? Let's say you're having a totally rotten day. You're just like, man, life stinks. And you're like, oh, I should be thankful. So you're like, okay, my dog died, and you know, my pizza that I was really excited about eating got moldy, and like also I'm like, oh, I'm so sad. Oh, and then I'm like, oh, I should be thankful. Okay, God, just thank you so much for all the good things in my life, like my dog died. And it's so hard sometimes by yourself, right? You're like trying to be thankful, but you're like, oh. And then what happens? You come and you sit down with some friends, and they're like, dang, do you remember what happened last retreat? Wasn't that epic? Oh my gosh. Then this happened, and God healed my toe. It was like, oh, we prayed for it, and God fixed. And you know, like, and what happens there? Suddenly, you don't feel so down anymore. Suddenly, you're thankful because it happened in community, right? So don't forsake community when you're in a season of laziness or like summer, less responsibility. Okay? Still pursue friendships. Still work on community. Here's the big thing why, too. It's not just because you need it. It's also because it needs you. Right? I need you guys, but you also need me. And if you guys stop coming to SOAR, I suffer. And if I stop coming to SOAR, you suffer, right? Maybe, yeah, really suffer, because absolutely. Right? Yeah, no. But do you guys see what I'm saying?
Sorry, I was joking.
But we need each other, right? And everybody suffers when we isolate each other from ourselves. In fact, Proverbs 18:1 says this: he who isolates himself, right, steps out of community, pursues selfish desires, right? I thought the verse would say, hey, if you isolate yourself, you're hurting yourself. But the verse doesn't say that. It says, if you isolate yourself, you're being selfish, right? You're not benefiting others. Make sense? So that's why, like, for all of you guys, if you're a Christian, you should go to church. Even if you don't like church. Even if church is annoying. Why? Not because church is not just for you. It's for the other people there. And when you go, you bless others. Does that make sense? Right? Like, us being together is a blessing to all of us. And if you don't come, then we don't have this anymore. Right? Does that make sense? So don't forsake the living community. Okay.
Yes. Choose joyfulness and thanksgiving. I kind of mentioned this a little bit, but you guys saw that the verse here, it said,
speak to one another in psalms and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So when you read that verse, what does that community sound like?
Let me read it again. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that sound like? If you add a bunch of people who are all doing that, what would it sound like?
Choir.
Like a choir, yeah, right? Okay, and what kind of feeling would go with it? It'd be...
Holy.
Huh?
Holy.
Okay, holy, yeah. What else?
Joyful.
Joyful, right? It wouldn't be like, you know, people being singing and being thankful in their hearts. You would be like, oh, life is miserable now, right? It'd be joyful. It'd be holy. It'd be set apart. It'd be like, I just kind of this, maybe girls don't understand this, but, you know, guys, like, before a sports game, you're like, oh, you know, like in a big pile, and you're like, jumping together. I mean, maybe they don't do that in Korean sports teams, do they? They do this in American sports teams, you're like, oh, chest bump, you know, and you're like, okay. You know, and, but you know what I'm talking about, right? The football huddle.
Oh, yeah, we did it like 5 times before.
Yeah, right? Like you get so psyched. You're so excited. And you're like, yeah, this is awesome, right? And that's what this should be like if we're choosing, if we have this joyful and thankful community together. And that's what God calls us to, right? So don't waste your summer. Don't waste your life. Be joyful and thankful. Nothing robs time like self-pity. Oh my gosh, right? You know, when you sit at home and you're like, I have no friends. No one likes me. My grades are bad. My family hates me. I'm an idiot. Right? Like, and what happens to your whole day? You just waste all your time, right, when you live in self-pity. So instead, how do you get out of self-pity? Some people think the best way to get out of self-pity is to, like, self-promote, right? So you're like, no, you're not an idiot. You're awesome, right? Like, you guys see a Lego movie? You're the most interesting and amazing individual on the face of the planet, right? Like, tell yourself all these awesome stuff about yourself, and then you'll be well. Some people think that's the way to beat self-pity. But that's not the way to beat self-pity. Because eventually you'll realize that you're lying to yourself, right? right? That's not the way to beat self-pity. The way to beat self-pity is this. Thankfulness. Right? When you are thankful for what you have. Because when you are thankful, you can't pity yourself. Instead of being like, oh, I'm awesome, I shouldn't pity myself, you say, wow, so much has been given to me, I'm so blessed, how can I pity myself? Right? And that's so much more powerful. Because you can. It doesn't matter where you are, who you are, you can find things to be thankful. God has given us breath. If you're alive, you have breath, right? If you've eaten breakfast this morning, you have something to be thankful for. Dude, we have air conditioning in this room. That is crazy, right? We have so many things that we can be thankful for. No matter what's going on in your life, you can always choose thankfulness. And if you want to not waste your life in self-pity or other things like that, you have to choose faithfulness. Choose thankfulness. Okay. All right, great. So last one is acting in submission. Verse 21. Someone want to read that? Where's my Bible go? Here. Someone want to read verse 21? Last verse of the section.
Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Good. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, submit is one of these awesome words that we all love. Oh, I just love to obey people. Yeah. Please, give me more rules, right? Like, submission is one of those, like, I don't like to submit. Why does God tell us to submit? Anyone have any idea? Why would God say, hey, make sure you submit to one another? Make sure you submit to those who are authority over you. Why would he say that?
Because it's an act of love for them.
Okay, yeah, so it is an act of love for them, right? So you're loving your authority by submitting them, right? Why else? Good. So it puts you in a place of learning, right? Yeah. It's also a place of safety, right? Like when Kalila, my little baby, refuses to listen to me, it's much more dangerous for her, right? it's the go, yeah, yay, or like the highway, ah, and I'm like, you go around the highway, and I'm like, no, no, I'm not going to submit to you, Father. Ah. Right, right, like if she submits to me, it's a place of safety, right? Okay. So God tells us to act in submission for our good. And let me tell you this, if you spend your life rebelling against the proper authorities over you, you will waste your life. If you don't want to waste your life, if you want your summer to count, and to be honest, in seasons like the summer, when like your parents are gone for a while, or you don't have school, or stuff like that, it's so much easier to like fudge and not really submit, right? Like maybe your parents said, hey, while I'm gone, I want you to work on your whatever for like at least an hour a day. You're like, okay, Mom, totally. How about awesome time in Iceland? You know, and then they talk about it. And then do you do it at all? No. Right? Right? Or they say, hey, I want you doing this, but they don't come down hard on it, and you're like, oh, I can get away with that doing it. Right? And it's in seasons like the summer that we often want to like shrink back from submitting where we fully should. But let me tell you, if you want to not waste your life, you have to learn to submit to the people that God has placed over you. And that's your parents, that's your spiritual leaders, that's your mentors, that's your teachers, things like that. And as we learn to live in submission to these people, we won't waste our life. Okay? I know this is not popular, but it's actually super powerful if you can learn to do it.
Okay. I need to finish up. So here's the last thing.
What's the motivation for all this? Why should we do all this? Yeah, we don't want to waste our life. But at the end of the day, what is it? In verse 21, it says, submit to one another. Why? Out of reverence for Christ. So the reason we do all of this is because we love God. Right? So if you don't love God, that's fine. You don't have the motivation to do all of this stuff that I was just talking about. But if you love God, then He's saying, hey, my child, I gave you this life that you have. I want you to use it for me. And what do we say? God, I don't want to waste this life. I love you. I revere you. I have reverence for you, Jesus. I want to live it for you. I don't want to waste a single moment. Right? And that's where our motivation comes. Because if your motivation to do all this is like, oh, I must do the right thing, oh, I don't want to mess up or waste a single second, you're going to fall into legalism. You're going to fall into like, oh, it has to be exactly like this. Oh, I'm 2 minutes late, right? You'll fall into legalism. But if the motivation is reverence for God, love for God, then you'll be able to do it all with joy. Right? You guys ever find that when someone says, hey, like, here's how to not waste your summer, here's how to get your schoolwork done, here's how to do that, and then they give you a plan, right? And then you start doing it, how do you feel? Oh man, it's so stupid, I have to, like, write this report, and it has to be in, like, this format, and blah, 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 right? You push back against this stuff, right? Because the motivation is just like this, right? Rules. But if your motivation is love, right? Let's say the girl you like is like, hey, can you help me out with a school project?
Sure!
Right? So, like, I need it to be in, you know, A4 paper in this format.
No problem!
Hey, it's true. It's real, right? It's red, right? And if your love for God is your motivation for why you do stuff, you'll be happy to do all these things. Right? And to be honest, what's going to be the better paper? Right? If you do it for some girl you like, totally going to be a better paper, right? You'll put so much energy and work into it, and you'll do your best, right? But if you're doing it for the rules, you won't. So we have to learn to love God and let it all be motivated out of our reverence and love for Him.
Okay? All right. Let's pray, and we'll finish up.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
For the personal addiction,
yeah.
Do you have any advice on how to stop?
Yes. Okay. Good question. And I didn't spend a lot of time on this. Sorry. When I was prepping this sermon, I was like, oh, I gotta keep this going. So, let me be real. I've totally faced addictions. I've dealt with addictions with stuff I shouldn't look at on the internet. I've dealt with addictions with video games and TV. I've dealt with addictions with food I shouldn't eat. You know, like, I've dealt with all sorts of addictions, right? And I know a lot of you guys have too, or even are right now. and you maybe feel like, man, I don't know how to get free. I feel you and I hear you. And the way to get free is through the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, and I didn't have time to go here today, but Galatians 5 says, if you walk according to the flesh, that means just like, if you do what your body makes you feel like doing, you're going to end up in death. But if you walk according to the Spirit, that brings life. And maybe you've experienced this, I've experienced this, where your flesh is causing like this addiction, and you're so stuck in it, and how do you feel? You're like, this is killing me, it's making my life miserable, right? Because you're walking according to the flesh. But if you learn to walk according to the Spirit, then God can set you free in your life. And the way that you do that is by learning to depend on the Holy Spirit. It's a process. It's not, sometimes God just delivers people. I've had friends or people I know who have been like, hey, I was smoking, I couldn't stop, and I said, God, please help me, and I just didn't want to smoke a cigarette after that, and I never did, right? Sometimes God does that. I have other friends who like had to try really hard, and it took them years to like get free from addictions, right? But here's the thing. The thing for addictions is to go to the Holy Spirit, right? To go to Him and say, Holy Spirit, I need help, right? Help me to choose what's right. And then what will happen as you begin to walk with the Holy Spirit is right when you're at that moment of decision, you know what I'm talking about? The moment, right? You're like, you have that addiction, and then you hear like that addiction say, hey, Kenny, what's up? And you're like, oh, you know what I'm talking about? You have that moment right there, and you're like, which way are you going to go? As you ask, invite the Holy Spirit into it, more and more, you'll hear the Holy Spirit being like, Kenny, what are you doing? Hey, right? As you begin to move it, right? And you'll hear the Holy Spirit calling you back in your conscience. And sometimes you'll listen to Him, and sometimes maybe you won't, right? But here's the thing. As you learn to walk with the Holy Spirit, He will teach you so that eventually more and more you'll learn to listen to Him rather than listen to temptation. Okay? And part of what's important in all this is realize that when you fail, first off, you feel horrible, right? You know what I'm talking about? You go into addiction and you just feel like, man, I stink. I'm a horrible human being. When you're in that moment and you're like, I'm so sick of this and I hate this, that's a good thing. It's good to hate addiction. It's good to hate that sin, that bad thing. It's good to hate that. But then let the Holy Spirit bring forgiveness to your life. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter how many times you fall. If you go to God and say, Jesus, would you forgive me? He does. He wipes you clean. He will totally accept you back and say, hey, like, okay, yeah, you fell again. Stand up. I've forgiven you. You're clean. Walk. And you'll walk a little more, and you're closer, and you get to that moment, and you're like, I'm going to fall. And He'll say, stand up. And then you'll fall, right? And then you'll feel horrible. And then you'll go back to God and say, God, help me. He'll say, let me dust you off. I love you. We're going to get this. Let's go again. He's a good father. That's what's so amazing about God. He's so patient with us. So I can give a whole message on addictions because it really is huge. But the big thing is to be dependent on God. Pray, talk to Him, ask Him to help you. And then when you hear that moment of decision, listen. Because the farther down that road you get, the harder it is. Right? Yeah. Yeah, a good verse actually is 1 Corinthians 13. You guys know what it is? 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you need a good verse for addictions and temptations, it says, no temptation has seized you. No temptation has like tried to grab you. Except ones that are common to man. Except ones that everybody faces. And God is faithful and will allow a way out of the temptation. Right? So that's a great verse to memorize that when you face temptation. Any other questions? Let me pray. God, we don't want to waste our lives. We don't want to be people who spend our
our time on stupid things like addictions, God. We don't want to waste our life on foolishness, but we want to live wise. God, I ask for each person here in this room right now, I ask that they could come to the end of this summer and look back and say, man, this was a summer that counted. A summer that made a difference. And God, that may even be something simple, like they just got to know you more. Maybe they didn't even accomplish that much in the world sense, but they did what your Holy Spirit led them to do. God, and we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth, that's with us and never leaves us and teaches us how to live. God, we ask that you would teach us to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Show us what it means to walk with you and hear from you and be obedient to you in each moment, God. We ask that you would help us to continue in community and not isolate ourselves, but to continue to come and be with others. And we ask for you to help us to choose thanksgiving, to choose joy, to choose to look at the good things you've done rather than wallowing in self-pity. And God, we also ask that you would help us to submit to the authorities that you've placed over us, even when it's hard, God, and even when we don't really disagree with your decisions. And God, all this I pray that you'd help us to do through the power of love, the fact that we love you. I pray that would be our motivation for what we do. Jesus, I just ask that you bless your people here, Jesus. God, I pray that you'd speak to us. Maybe right now, you have something on your mind, like an addiction or something like that, that you know is stealing your life. Let's just take like 30 seconds, and I want you to just basically do what I was talking about. Just go to God and say, God, I need your help. I pray you forgive me for getting into this addiction, and I ask that you'd help me to walk in the right way, to walk in your ways. Just go ahead and take time with him. You don't have to say it out loud, but if you have something, just name it to him. Just say it to him in your heart. I just pray to you that you help us to live in the good things you have for us. For you help us not to waste our lives. Thank you that you are with us and will never leave us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Alright, so hopefully I'll see you guys all next week. Let me know if you know a place that we can meet with like about this many people. I'll send an email on Wednesday or Thursday about where we meet on Saturday. Okay?